I want you to turn in your scriptures, if you have them with you this morning, to John chapter 4. This, of course, is the story of the Samaritan, the woman of Samaria, or the Samaritan woman that came to the well where Jesus was. Now, let's just begin for the sake of time in verse 6. Now, Jacob's well was there in this Samaritan place. Jesus, therefore, being weary with his journey, set thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. Then cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me to drink." For the disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, "How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans." Jesus answered and said unto her, "If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith unto thee, 'Give me to drink,' thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water." The woman saith unto him, "Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drink thereof himself and his children and his cattle?" Jesus answered and said unto her, "Whosoever drinketh this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up to everlasting life." The woman said unto him, "Sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw." Jesus said to her, "Go call your husband. Go call thy husband and come hither." Now notice what happened. The woman answered and said, "I have no husband." Jesus said unto her, "Thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband, in that thou sayest that truly." The woman saith unto him, now think about this. This is the key point. Jesus told her everything that had happened in her life. And I'm sure that he had no idea who she was or where she come from, or from a standpoint, but he knew everything about her. And she says, "I perceive that thou art a prophet." Well, I imagine so. If somebody tell you all that you had of your life, never having met you before, how do you know all this stuff? "I perceive you're a prophet." And notice what she said. "Our fathers worshipped in this mountain," and it was a mountain there in Samaria, "and you say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship." Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship you know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth." The woman saith unto him, "Which is called Christ? When he is come, he shall tell us all things." Now the woman said, she had, even though she was a Samaritan, she knew that there was a Messiah that was supposed to, a Savior that would come. And that's what she's speaking of here, Messiah. When Messiah's coming, which is called Christ, when he is come, he will tell you all things. Now notice this. Very rare occasion here. Jesus said unto her, "I that speak unto thee am he." Very rare. I mean, not very many places in where we read these things that Jesus actually says, "I am the one you're looking for." Now remember, this woman was not a Jew. She was a Samaritan. And there's a lot of history about Samaria in the Old Testament. But during the time of the Babylonian captivity, they drove out the Jews, and the king brought in his own people in there, and they became Samaritans. Well, the Jews and the Samaritans, They're kind of like the Jews and the Muslims today. They believe that a certain piece of real estate, a particular place, is where that we meet God and worship Him. She thought it was in a mountain over here. Well, you Jews think it's in Jerusalem. But Jesus says, let me tell you something. There's a time coming that you're neither in worship there or in Jerusalem. And I believe perhaps he may have been thinking about the time when Brother John, where Jerusalem and that mountain and all those places, they're not going to be able to worship anywhere because, the Romans are going to come in and take over the place. You're not going to be able to worship in that mountain or in Jerusalem. But anyway, that's a side issue. But what I want us to think about this morning is Jesus says, you worship, you know not what. I want us to think about when Apostle Paul comes out to Athens and he goes up there on Mars Hill, and you remember there was all them altars all around. This God, maybe the sun God, the moon God, the earth God, and all these different gods that they had all around there. And he says, and there's an altar that says, unto the unknown God. He said, that's the one I want to tell you about. He said, these other gods, you ignorantly worship them. Now, worship is and that's perhaps if we had to title, how do we worship today? What is the form of worship? How are we supposed to worship? Is there a specific place we're supposed to go and worship God? Worship literally from the definition of a definition standpoint, it really meant to bow down. When they bow down, when they worship God, they get down, and that's the way some of the Muslims do. They get down, they put their head on the ground, and they worship their deity. Now, those people on Mars Hill, they were worshiping all those idols. And that's why Jesus said, you don't know what you worship, but we know who we worship. And for he says, salvation is of the Jews. But he says, the woman, he said, you worship, you know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. Now, the Apostle Paul literally gave that point in Acts chapter 13. We're not going to take time to go there, but he literally says, you men of Athens and all that fear God, he said, unto you is the word of this salvation sent. It's sent to you Jews. And he says the same thing to those in Acts chapter 2. He said, men and brethren, and all that fear God, give ears, you know, to you is this word sent. So salvation from standpoint of knowing who Jehovah was and teachings about God was to the Jewish people. You remember when Jesus sent his apostles out, he says, go ye to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Don't go to the way of the Gentiles or to the Samaritans, but go ye to these people. Well, here is Jesus, and this woman was amazed that he would even talk to her. You see, these people, they were really, when you think about it, some of them were half-breeds or mixed breeds, and they were dispersed by both sides. Kind of like, you know, you used to have a half-breed Indian. The Indians didn't like him and the white people didn't like him. So they were kind of offshoots. I mean, and this woman was so amazed that Jesus would even talk to her. But I want you to notice what Jesus tells her. The hour cometh and it is now. Think about that. The hour is coming. That's future. But it's also here now. It's here now, and it's the hour's coming, and it's here now. When the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. Now, when we think about true worshipers, that gives you an idea that there's probably false worshipers. We know that's a fact, don't we? We know that that's one of the first commandment, thou shalt not have any other gods before me. Thou shalt not bow down. You shall not worship any other god except Jehovah God. That's the first commandment. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. So when you think about worshiping, and, And even when they were, the children of Israel, when they were brought out of Egypt, remember? When they get over there and they said, they built, when Moses was on the mountain, we said, we don't know anything about what happened to this Moses. But they built themselves, they took off all their gold and their, and all that stuff, and they made themselves an idol and said, this is the God that brought us out of Egypt. Now, man by nature is religious. He is. Man by nature will worship anything. I mean, if it's nothing but himself. You know, when you have old Nebuchadnezzar over there, he was a god. He was the god and he said, and all of those, Babylonian gods, he said, when they play this music, you bow down to me. Well, what did the Daniel and the Hebrew children said, we're not going to bow to you. Well, we'll throw you in the fiery furnace. And he did all those things, but you see, he said, you can do anything you want to us, King, but we're not going to worship you. We worship Jehovah God. So the point here is this, the hour cometh when true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. Now I want you to notice verse 24, and this is going to be, try to center around this point. God is spirit. Sink in. God is spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. How strong is that must in that text? It didn't say, I've even had Primitive Baptists say, well, Brother Allen, how much spirit do you have to have and how much truth do you have to have in order to worship God? Can we worship God in spirit without the truth? Or can we worship God in the truth without the spirit? There are some that try to do that, Brother Keith. There is people that are worshiping God in the spirit and they have wonderful spirit and they're doing all these things, but they're ignorant as far as what God says. I mean, the people believe that they've got to do this and they've got to do that. And if they don't do this and they don't do that, then they're going to be lost. And not only that, you have to do all of these things in order to become a child of God. These people are sincere. They love God. They're God's children, but they're worshiping ignorantly. And when it says, they that worship God must worship him in spirit and truth. Must. You can't, okay, Brother, can you worship God in the truth? Well, let me ask you this. Have you ever seen a group of people that have the truth and their fellowship and their church is as cold as ice? You see, they got the truth, but they don't have the spirit. And if you got the truth and you don't have the spirit, then you're just going through the motions. So you see, we can't worship God we can worship God in truth. Brother Hewlett, we need to rightly divide the word of truth. But you can't worship God just in the truth. You got to have the Spirit. Well, how do you get the Spirit? Well, I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, if you're going to worship God at all, you're going to worship Him in the Spirit. The only ones that can worship Him in Spirit are those who have the Spirit. Those who have been born of the Spirit of God. And I want to break these words down a little bit. And the question is asked, well, what is truth? That was the question that, you know, when we could go over to the 18th chapter of the book of of John, the same book. And Jesus is here before Pilate. John 19 and 36, for those that are trying to follow. Now, it says, Jesus answered, my kingdom, listen to this, my kingdom is not of this world. Well, what are you talking about? I'm not an earthly king. And my kingdom is not an earthly reign. He said, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is not my kingdom hence. And Pilate, now notice what Pilate asked him. Therefore said he unto him, are you a king? Are you a king? And Jesus answered him, thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born. Jesus says, for this very cause, for this purpose, this very moment, am I come to this world. For this cause was I born, and for this cause came I into this world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. I came to bear witness unto the truth. Everyone, now listen this carefully. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Do you hear his voice? You hear his voice? I think you hear his voice. I think he speaks to you in your soul. And I believe that if you believe, and this Brother Devin and I was talking about this on the way up here, do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Yes, I do. Then it says, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. So, and that itself is an absolute truth. Truth is absolute. Truth is not, you may say, well, what's truth to me may not be true to you. You see, truth is relative. It's whatever you want it to be. No, truth is absolute. Truth is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, what is truth? Truth, if it was true yesterday, it'll be true today. If it's true today, it'll be true tomorrow. It's just like Jesus says, I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. Guess what? He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is truth. He is the personification of all truth. There is no truth there's no truth except him. Now notice what old Pilate said. He said, Pilate said unto him, I'm in John chapter 19, verse 38 now. 18, I'm sorry. Thank you. Pilate said unto him, notice this, what is truth? Now, I ask each one of you, what's truth? What's truth? Give me your definition of truth. Well, truth is that which will be true today. And if it was true yesterday and it's not true today, then it was a lie yesterday. Am I right? Well, if it's true today, it'll be true tomorrow. So truth is absolute. It doesn't change. It doesn't change. So, and O Pilate, he said, what is truth? What is truth? Well, you think he really wanted to know? He was talking to the truth. He was speaking to the personification of truth. And he did not even recognize him. Now, and as soon as he asked that question, turned around and walked off. He didn't want to know the truth. There's some people, brothers and sisters, wouldn't know the truth that come sit down by them. That's the truth. That's the truth, isn't it? But when you think about what is truth. Now, Deuteronomy chapter 32, one of my favorite, 32 and 4, one of my favorite verses. He says, he is the rock. He is not a rock. He is the rock. His work is perfect. He is a God of truth without iniquity, just and right is he. A God of truth. He's a God of justice and truth and he can't, there's some things God can't do. He can't lie and he can't change. So he's the truth. He's absolute truth. And when we began to try to, when we began to read his scriptures, well, how much of the scriptures is true? Well, if you don't believe, I mean, every word of God is true. He said, the Lord are pure words. They're as silver tried in the furnace of earth, purified seven times. He said, thou shalt keep them. Thou shalt preserve them forever from this generation forever. And we have, I believe that we have the truth in these 66 books of the King James Version of the Bible that was translated from the original tongues, the translators in 1611. Now, this is the truth in English. Yeah. This book is written in English. It's not written in Hebrew or Greek. It's written in English. And if we want to know what the words mean, we need to get the English. And this is what old brother Harold Stumbaugh, I was quoting the Greek says this and the Hebrew says that. And he said, Alan Daniels, that book's written in English. A week later, I got a big, huge book about this big and about that thick called the Oxford English Dictionary. He sent me that book. I like Oxford because you can go to Oxford and it will tell you, Brother Hewlett, what it was in this time of period, in this time of period. You can go back and you can find what it was, what the word meant in 1611. And what it meant in prior times after that. And so, if you want to know what the English word means, I mean, I quoted a verse one time. I said, Brother Harold, that's what it says in Hebrew, and it's the same in Greek. there's some words that are transliterated. You know what one of those words is? Baptismal. It's the same in Greek as it is in English. And it means the same thing in English as it does Greek. It means to cover, to overwhelm. But I'm chasing a rabbit here. I want to go back now to our text. God is truth. There is no truth except it come from Him. Now, how are we going to worship Him in spirit and in truth? We can't control the spirit, can we? We can't say, Spirit, all right, now I got the truth. Spirit, come and bless me. Well, God has given us promises. He said, where two or three are gathered together in my name. If you come together and you're worshiping God in truth, then you say, Father, and this is something every one of us, when we're reading God's word, we should pray, God, give me the understanding to this word. And there is only one way you're going to get it. And it's by the Spirit. Now I want to go back to verse 14 of John chapter 4 for a minute, and we're going to skip over some verses and try to talk about the Spirit for just a little while. We don't have a whole lot of time. Notice in verse 14. Now Jesus told her, and I'll get back to verse 13. Jesus ended and said, and whosoever drink of this well water, she is going to thirst again. And this woman, he said, give me that living water so I don't have to come back here and draw the water anymore. She was still thinking literal. She was still thinking natural. Just give me this water so I don't have to come back out here and draw the water again. If I have this living water, then I'll just have it forever. Well, he's not talking about H2O. He's talking about spirit. Notice he said, whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. This water is the Spirit as it's, I mean, I have never seen one, but, there's one, called Old Faithful. You remember Old Faithful? Is it called an artesian well? Anyway, it's always springing up. It's Old Faithful. It's always coming up. And, an artesian well is one that's bubbling up all the time. This is what Jesus is talking about. He said, if you had known the gift of God, what's the gift of God? You know the gift of God. Every one of you know the gift of Jesus. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave, what did he give? His only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Jesus is the gift of God. He is the gift that God gave us that we may be saved. And he said, if thou knewest the gift of God and who it was that said unto you, give me to drink, you've asked of him and I would give you living water. Living water. I shall give... And that I should give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Did you understand, brothers and sisters, when we have the Spirit of God in us, it's an ever flowing thing. It's like this artesian well, and it's continually washing our corrupt souls and our minds and washing away. Now I want to flip over with me very quickly over to John chapter 7. There's a lot in John 7, but where am I supposed to be? Oh, it's verse 37, 38, and 39 of John chapter 7. Okay, found it. Okay, now notice Jesus. Now he's here on the day of on the Feast of Tabernacles is what it is. You go back to chapter 1 and Jesus is here at the Feast of Tabernacles. He said, in the last day, that great day of the feast, I want you to think about these people. There's probably a million people there. They come to this feast every year. There's all these different feasts, and the Feast of Tabernacles is the one that comes. Well, I don't want to get in trouble. I'm not as much on Old Testament history as I should be, but anyway, the Feast of Tabernacles is where they build booths and they sit in these booths, In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood up and he cried, saying, now listen, he's here in the midst of all these Jews. Hundreds of them, thousands of them maybe. If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. What a saying to say in the midst of all those Jewish people. If any man thirst, let him come to me and drink. Well, I've got a bottle of water. You got some water? He wasn't talking literal water. He was talking spirit. Now notice what he said. Verse 38, this is wonderful statement. He that believeth in me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. He said, if you believe on me, as the scriptures has said. Now, there's a lot of folks that believe on Jesus and they don't believe what the scriptures say about him. But if you believe on him, like the scriptures said, that he is the eternal Son of God, that he came down to, that he was with the Father before the foundation of the world, and all these principles that we hold dear to, if you believe on me like that, then out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. Now notice what he says. Notice what he says. Notice the parenthetical. Parenthetical. I like the parentheticals, but they give you a little additional information. They're not necessary really to make the thought clean, but notice he said, this spake he of the Spirit. Now, well, I wonder what he meant by that. I wonder what he meant by rivers of living water going to flow out of you. Well, what did he say? This spake he of the Spirit. So you say, well, Brother Allen, I think it meant, no, I don't care what you think it means the Spirit. I mean, if Jesus says it's the Spirit, David. You don't have to figure out what he means. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, and received it yet, should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. Now, this is a future thing. The Holy Ghost has not been, you mean, what do you mean? The holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. You mean the Holy Ghost was not even, the Holy Ghost, there is not four in the Trinity. There's not the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit and the Holy Ghost are the same person, but they have different functions. The Holy Ghost is that which, and now, I got 15 minutes. Go to Acts chapter 1, real quickly. Now, this is in Acts chapter 1, it's the, if you want to know what Acts chapter 1 is, it's Luke chapter 25. You read Luke and you can just go from Luke 24 right into Acts 1. But this is Luke writing here. The former treaties have I made of Theopolis of all that Jesus began to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, listen, through the Holy Ghost had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Now, we don't have time this morning, but I will point you to John 14, 15, 16, which he talks about. He said, I'm going away. I'm going away, but he said, I will not leave you comfortless, but I will send a comforter, and he shall teach you all things. He shall guide you into all truth. He called him the Spirit of Truth. He is the Spirit of Truth. And he says, he is not going to speak of himself. The Holy Ghost is not going to magnify himself as we see some people teaching that he is. But he's not going to magnify himself, but he's going to teach you about me. If you want to know anything about Jesus, you're going to have to learn it through the Holy Spirit. Do you know that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God? You know how you got to know that? He said, that's what they asked, the Lord asked him. He said, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? He said, well, some say you're Jeremiah and Isaiah or one of the other prophets. He said, but what about you? He said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus says, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood did not reveal this unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. So if you know anything about him, it's because the Holy Spirit taught you. All right, now then, Now, after Jesus, that was in John 4. This is John 13, of course, is where we have the feet washing and et cetera. And Jesus is in the upper room. He's in the upper room and he's with his apostles and they have the Lord's Supper. And then after they do that, they leave there and they go out and they're walking along and Jesus is preaching to them as they're walking. And he tells them about this comforter. He says, and they were really puzzled. He said, I'm going away. And they said, well, Lord, where are you going? He said, where I'm going right now, you can't come, but you'll come later. And he says, you can't see me now, but you'll see me later. Well, there was a time they didn't see him. But after they crucified him, they put him in the grave and they put a seal over it and said, they thought, well, we've stopped the mouth of that guy. 3 days and three nights, he came up out of that grave. And he walked among his apostles 40 days on this earth, appearing here and appearing there. One time he appeared, you know, and Jesus, I mean, old Thomas wasn't there. You remember the story about Thomas? He said, Thomas, the Lord's been here. Yeah, right. Right. He said, I'll believe you and I can see him and see the nail prints in his hands and put my hand in his side. Will Jesus come back again later? And he said, Thomas, don't be doubting anymore. Come. Here's my hand. See? It's me. See? It's me. I'm the same one. He said, my Lord and my God. And he said, blessed, Thomas, you're a really blessed person because you've seen and believed. But more blessed are they that have not seen yet believed. That's us. But how do we get the message? It's through the Spirit of God. And that's what he's teaching us here. And he's here 40 days, we have John the Baptist, who was the forerunner of Jesus Christ. He came in the wilderness of Judea preaching the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He says, there's one coming after me whose shoe latches I'm not worthy to unloose. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. With the Holy Ghost and fire. Well, that's two baptisms. John said, I'm baptizing you in water. That's one baptism. And there's one coming that's going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost. That's two baptisms. And also fire. Now, and here they are waiting for that promise. He says, when he went up, tarry in Jerusalem. Stay in Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. And then notice verse 14. I've got to skip a lot here. Verse 14 of Acts chapter 1. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication. Now notice, it wasn't just the 12 apostles. All these continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus and his brethren. And it says right down underneath there, the number of them was about 120. These, what are they doing? They're waiting for this promise. Previously, they had just seen Jesus go up. I mean, I skipped that part. But it says, as he was teaching them, he says he just was caught up into the air. And they stood there gazing. And the angel said, oh, you men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into the heavens? This same Jesus that you see go up shall come again. See, the promise is he's going away. But that was after the 40 days. Now then, they're waiting for something. What are they waiting for? They're waiting for the promise. The promise. What's the promise? That you're going to be endued with power. And that's what John 7 is speaking about. He said that if you believe on Jesus as the Spirit, I mean, as the scripture said, there shall be like a well of water inside of you that's springing up to eternal, everlasting life. And he said, this spake he, by the Holy, speaking of the Spirit of God, because the Holy Ghost was not yet given. When was it given? They were, now, 40 days, 40 days plus 10 is 50, right? What's Pentecost? 50 days. Pentecost is 50 days after Passover. And I believe that we could look and find that Jesus, 50 days after the time that Jesus was risen from the grave, he was on the earth 40 days. 10 days later, something happened. Now notice, it says, and this is in Acts chapter 2, this is the promise. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one accord in one place. Who's the all? The 120. It's the church. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as unto fire. What did he say he's going to baptize you with? The Holy Ghost and fire. And it set upon each one of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there was dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. Now, when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded because that every man heard them speak in his own language. I'm going to say there's Japanese and Chinese and Germans and all these, I don't have, they were all different, spoke all languages. You remember back over there in Genesis chapter 11, what happened? That God confused their languages and they went out everywhere. And the ones that could understand one another gathered together and they became this particular. Well, I want you to see here that Pentecost is Babylon in reverse. Babylon in reverse. What happened at Babylon? They were speaking one language. And they said, let us build a tower up to God. God said that he confused their languages. That's where the nations all began there. And they went out and he confused their language. They began to speak different. They couldn't understand one another. How are you going to build a temple or a building up to heaven when everybody's speaking different languages? Well, I want you to see that here, all these people that are speaking all these different dialects. And if you want to really count them, you can go over there and you can count 17 different nations. And they were, it says devout men out of every nation. They were all Jews, by the way, or proselyte Jews. But they came together and said, these men are drunk. These men are all drunk. He said, these men are not drunk. These people are not drunk. This is only the third hour of the day. He said, this is that. And if you want to know, Brother David said, this is that. We're to believe that. This is that. You go over to the second chapter of Joel, and it's almost word for word. I mean, very, very few. Joel chapter 2, you can go over there and you can read. This is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it goes down through those things. Verse 16 is where you can find that. But here is all these people speaking languages. In my personal opinion, I believe it was the apostles that were speaking in. I mean, you're a Japanese, you're a German, you're a Chinaman, and you're all of these different languages. I'm speaking in Galilean. It's coming out of my mouth. It's Galilean, but it's going into your ears in your native tongue. You're understanding me. I don't have to. You know who the interpreter is? Yeah. The Holy Ghost. I'm speaking in the. He said, "Are not all these Galileans? How is it that we hear every man in our own tongue?" Well, we see. How long do you think it would have? And this is a wonderful message, by the way. You read the whole chapter of Acts chapter 2, and he said, there's a wonderful gospel in here, but Peter is preaching this, and he's speaking this language in Galilean language to all these 17 different nations under heaven, and it's all going into their ears in their native tongue. Now that's a miracle. To say the least. Now, When you look at the beautiful thoughts here, and you can, if you want to look at all those nations, you can count them up in verse 9 down through, let's see, about 11, but take my word, I've counted them. There's 17 of them. There's 17 various nations there. And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, "What meaneth this?" Others mocking said, "These men are full of new wine." But Peter standing up with the 11. Isn't it amazing that Peter is the one that God chose to do this? Huh? Peter was the one that denied him three times. And when Jesus arose, he says, "Go and tell my brethren and Peter." Sure, you tell Peter. But Peter is here standing up and he lifted up his voice and he said, "Ye men of Judea and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you and hearken unto my words. For this is not, these men are not drunk as ye suppose, but it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And my servants and my handmaidens will I pour out on these days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I shall show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor and smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness," and et cetera, et cetera. And I don't have time to go on. But I want you to understand something, brothers and sisters. This was not the beginning of the New Testament church. The New Testament church did not begin on the day of Pentecost. It began in Jordan River. But you know what happened here? This was the baptism of the church. This was the baptism, not by water, but by the Holy Spirit. This is the prophecy that was given by Joel way back there, and that this is going to happen, and you're no longer going to have to teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, "Know the Lord, for they shall all know me. I'm going to write my laws in their hearts and in their minds, and I'm going to teach them." How? By the Spirit of God. And brothers and sisters, Brother Crane gave me this little point. He said, there is no amen in after Acts chapter, whatever it is. If you turn the book of Acts, there's no amen after that. There's amen after Romans. There's amen after all of the epistles of Paul. Now you say, "Well, Brother Allen, what's the main point there?" Well, the point is it wasn't the end. We're still under, until the Lord comes back again, we're still under this Holy Ghost teaching. And we're still under, this is the same day. We're under the day of the Spirit of God. And if you want to know any truth, you say, "Well, I don't understand that." He says, "If any man lack wisdom." You lack wisdom? You need some wisdom? He said, "Let him ask of God, who upbraideth not and giveth liberally." And we say, "Oh, I don't understand that." Well, pray for it. Pray for understanding. And if you know, and ask the pastor. If he don't know, then he ought to learn. Ask Brother Hewlin, he'll tell you. But the point here is this. If you know anything at all about Jesus, you say, "I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the eternal Son of God." The only way that you can say that is because you have been born of God and you have the Spirit of God inside of you, and it's like a fountain flowing from, it's continually flowing over and over and over, continually bubbling up in our souls. And it will be there until the Lord comes back.